Our lesson today comes from John 6, verses 1 through 15. Hear God's word. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee, some call it Tiberias. A huge crowd followed him, attracted by the miracles they'd seen him doing among the sick. And when he got to the other side, he climbed a hill and sat down, surrounded by his disciples. It was nearly time for the Feast of Passover, kept annually by the Jews. And when Jesus looked out and saw that a large crowd had arrived, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread to feed these people?" He said this to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered, 200 silver pieces won't be enough to buy bread for each person to get a piece." One of the disciples, it was Andrew, brother to Simon Peter, said, "There's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this." And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was a nice carpet of green grass in this place, and they sat down, about 5,000 of them. And then Jesus took the bread, and having given thanks, he gave it to those who were seated. He did the same with the fish. And all ate as much as they wanted. And when the people had eaten their fill, he said to the disciples, "Gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted." And they went to work and they filled 12 large baskets with leftovers from the 5 barley loaves. The people realized that God was at work among them in what Jesus had just done. And they said, "This is the prophet for sure, God's prophet right here in Galilee." Jesus saw that in their enthusiasm, they were about to grab him and make him king. So he slipped off and he went back up the mountain to be by himself. In the evening, his disciples went down to the sea and got in the boat, headed back across the water to Capernaum. It had grown quite dark, and Jesus had not yet returned. A huge wind blew up, churning the sea, and they were maybe 3 or 4 miles out when they saw Jesus walking on the sea, quite near the boat. They were scared senseless, but he reassured them. "It's me. It's all right. Don't be afraid." So they took him on board, and in no time they reached land, the exact spot that they were headed to. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. I love this passage for so many reasons. So many ways that it can speak to us in our own faith and our own struggles and what we're doing. So many metaphors and examples. Father Jerry Fuller told a story once that sounds a little bit like this. It tells about, and this is a true story, a young couple in North Carolina were set to open their own restaurant. All they needed was just one final health inspection, which was due to happen the next day, and then they would be ready to open. And so they were really, really excited about it. Well, this all occurred in September back in 1989, and the couple had named their little restaurant Our Place. They were so excited. But on the morning that they were due to get that final approval and to open their doors, that was the day that this incredible Hurricane Hugo hit the Atlantic coast. And it didn't stop there. It moved in 200 miles to this little town where they lived. The trees were uprooted. There were power lines down. Homes and stores were just destroyed, similar to some of what we were seeing in other storms that have touched our country recently. The young couple hurried over to their restaurant, scared to death that it too would be a casualty of the storm. And amazingly, everything was still there. A deputy sheriff pulled up and he told them that their restaurant, along with the fire station next door and the service station down the road, were the only ones that still have any power. Well, the young couple called the health inspector and they were begging him to come over and give them approval so that they could at least go ahead and open their doors. But because of the power outage, the inspector couldn't get into his office to issue the permit. And with no permit, they couldn't open. So here they are. They've got a refrigerator stocked with 300 pounds of bacon and beef. They've got bushels of tomatoes. They've got lettuce and bread. So I started thinking about it. They knew there was only one thing that they could do. They decided that they were going to give the food away. They told the deputy, "Tell your co-workers and other emergency people to see that we'll have free BLTs, coffee for everybody who wants to drop by. Just let them come." And before you knew it, there were firemen, there were policemen, there were linemen, there were workers from all over coming to this little restaurant. And they were all being fed. But meanwhile, they hear about this other restaurant that is scalping people who are in need of food by charging an exorbitant amount of money just for a little plate of bacon and eggs and toast. And so they decided they were going to expand this even further, and they put a big sign in their window saying, "Free coffee, free BLTs, everyone welcome." And everybody started coming in. There were people from all over showing up, but something else interesting happened. People who happened to be there, they started cleaning the counters. They started sweeping floors. They started volunteering to take over the dishwashing. And people from neighboring town that hadn't been hit too badly by the storm heard what was happening, and they brought food from their freezers. And nearby merchants also heard, and they responded with all kinds of foods and things. And somehow, as the day went on, those first cups of coffees and BLTs stretched and exploded into 16,000 meals. Can you believe that? 16,000 meals. And the restaurant's small stock of supplies actually increased by 500 loaves of bread, 350 pots of coffee, and bushels and bushels and bushels of produce. Kind of a miracle that happened in that little town. What I like to call a miracle of love. And it's a good reminder, I think, to all of us as we read this passage, which we can say, "Wow, that's a lovely, lovely story, isn't it?" But that could never happen. Yeah, it can. And as we go through this passage, we have tips and lessons on the process of stretching our own faith, especially when we're stressed out, when we feel like we're in a possible situation, when we feel like nothing can be done, that there are answers. And lesson number one, surprisingly, is simply be still. If you recall, Jesus and his disciples, they came and they sat, and then as others came in, they had them sit. They knew that food was needed. They knew that people were hungry. But they didn't have them scrambling around. They weren't sending them out to the local grocery stores to get food. They weren't rushing around. No. Step one was simply to sit. Be still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord. Those are just a couple of biblical reminders about what we need to do when we're in an impossible situation. First of all, need to be still and to listen. The second lesson we see here is our need to trust. And that trust comes from an awareness. It comes from a realization that God is with us. He's always been with us. In that moment of being still, where did these people just come from? They came, and the reason why they were there is because they came from seeing Jesus performing all these amazing acts of healing. People, one after another, that others had given up on, who had given up on themselves, were amazingly healed. So to be able to sit and be still, they had a moment to remember, why are we here? We're here because we've seen this man do amazing things. We've seen God working in him. We can trust God to do what is needed. We all can trust God to do what is needed. The third lesson here is that out of little things can come big, unimaginable things. So often we feel that unless we're capable of doing the big, big thing, you know, and if I can't write that $1 million check, well, hey, what good am I? If I can't go and do something huge and amazing, but no, we often discount the power of tiny things, of just a willingness to share what we can, just a willingness to be kind, just a willingness to be there. And in this case, this young boy, he had a couple of loaves of bread, a couple of fish. Not much, but you're welcome to it if it helps. He could have just kept it to himself and kept his mouth shut. But he was willing to share what he had. Not even beginning to imagine the ways that Jesus would multiply that gift so that everyone would not only be fed, but be full with leftovers. Isn't that how God works? I see over and over in my own life how, as I pray to God, my expectations so often are small compared to the huge abundance that God answers with. He's always, always giving me more than I could even imagine, more than I could begin to ask for. But that leads us to another lesson, and that is that those gifts to us are not to be wasted. We're to use them wisely. We're to be good stewards, knowing that He gives us that abundance so that we'll have what we need, but also so that we'll have more to share, to use where it's needed at a later time. And lesson number 5, God never, ever gives up on us. Even when we panic, even when we stress, even when we forget. Because what happens after this? These disciples who've been with Jesus, who have seen the amazing things that he's done, seen him heal person after person, seen him just then multiply the loaves and fishes and feed over 5,000 people, and yet they find themselves afraid in a boat, in a storm. And even when they see Jesus, they're afraid. And he has to calm their fears. My friends, isn't it amazing all the ways that God can work in our lives if we open our hearts and minds to him? If we don't set limits on what we think he can do? If we don't continually try to be creating the results ourselves with the idea that somehow, you know, we know better. We got this. We can take care of this. But now, as we walk this journey, God is going to continually be stretching us and taking us out of our comfort zone. And why? So that our faith will grow. So that our trust will grow. That's part of what was going on with the disciples. Jesus knew that no matter how many miracles he did, that he would need to continue to keep giving them opportunities to see them work in their lives, continue to push them, continue so that they could come to that place of trust. So what do we need to do again? First of all, when chaos hits, instead of letting ourselves go crazy with it, we need to take time to be still, to listen to God, to share our concerns, but to listen and simply, initially, be still. And second, we need to trust Him. Trust that no matter what is going on, He's still there. He has not forgotten us. Third, we need to trust that even when we feel what we can do or what we can give is embarrassingly small, trust that God can do big things. We just have to be willing. We just have to be open to it and not allow our sense of inability or our sense of weakness get in the way of God doing His work in it. And as we look even at this little church and the little steps that we've taken and the mighty things that God has done, we have much to be grateful for, and we've got some beautiful examples of God multiplying gifts. And four, we need to continue to be good stewards of all that He gives us, continuing looking for new ways to share what He's given with us to others. And finally, we must never forget that even when we lose our way, even when we become afraid, even when we fall short, that God never, ever gives up on us. As many times as it takes for us to learn, as many times as it takes for our faith to grow and be solid, He's going to give us what it takes. He's never going to say, "Oh, God, that's it. Last time, I'm through with you. I've shown you over and over and over and over. You can't learn. Forget it." No. He understands better than we understand ourselves. He will always be there for us. But the final question for us is, do we really need to keep testing God to have our faith? How much better to just trust? Let's pray. Dearest Lord, we thank You for the many ways that You work in our lives in spite of us. And we pray that no matter what happens, Lord, that You continue to grow our faith in You, our trust in You, and that You help us to be those who follow You fearlessly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.